Good morning. Greetings in the name of Christ. It's good to be with you this morning. It's been a good time already. Really enjoyed our Sunday school, as always. Shall we bow our heads for prayer before we go further? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the great gift of salvation that you've given us for Jesus Christ and for Calvary and for the empty tomb. Lord, I also thank you for everybody here this morning, and I pray a blessing on this service. May you be here with us. May we simply be your hands and your feet to each other. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak into our hearts and the needs that we have. I pray that you would help us in those places this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen. Maybe just before we get started, David is in Somersville this morning, so I should have prayed for him right then, but you can pray for him on your own. He's speaking down in Somersville today. And Murray isn't here because of a farm emergency, and so he's not here. So that's why they're missing. So I'd like to speak this morning just briefly, hopefully, about something that's been on my mind recently, and that's the topic or the subject of fear. Now, without trying to put you on the spot, because one of the fears that many people have is of being visible in public, I'd like to have your help. Fear is something that really probably affects all of us, and those of us who are unconscious of its effect on us might actually be the most troubled by it, because fear, when it's unlooked at and unexamined, it tends to have effects in our life that are really, really unhealthy. And we've got this Bible verse that we talk about to the children, and it sort of sounds cute and sweet, and we teach it to our four-year-olds, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And it's sort of a lesson for the four-year-olds. Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of things that go bump in the night. But that's a verse that David wrote after he had been captured, and he was with the Philistines, and this is the cry of a strong man in a hard place. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Fear has ways of just devouring our lives. And I know that's pretty dramatic language, but I believe it to be true. So time for a little bit of exposure here. What are some things, and you can say, these can be things that you have conquered, all right, if that's the way you want it to be. What are some things that you have experienced fear in, or that you have seen others experience fear in?
Fear of ridicule.
Have you ever felt afraid that somebody would make fun of you for your looks, for your thoughts, for your family, for just there's all kinds of reasons that people ridicule each other. I remember years ago, and I've told some of you this story, but I'll tell it again because I think it's a really good one. Years ago, Eunice and I were married maybe a couple of years, and this is when Bible school was still over here at the gym. I came bursting in through the front door there at the gym, and there was, it was just the Saturday before Bible school. You know how all this crowd of young people are there who don't know each other? And there's 100 young people, and they all are sort of, who's going to be my friend and who isn't, and who's going to, and they just, this uncertainty and this social anxiety. Well, there was up one wall, there from the corner of the door, up the left wall, there was a row of probably 10 or 15 boys just standing there like statues, like they were carved out of stone. And over along the right side next to the curtain, there's a line about equally long, all of girls. And they are likewise frozen in time and space. And they're just standing there. And I came bursting in, and it's very startling to suddenly be these rigid columns of people. And I said, I cheerfully laughed at them, and I said, "You know what? I know just how you feel, and I am so glad I'm not you." Because I remembered how that felt. Okay, so that's not really ridicule, but social anxiety. Maybe you're afraid that people won't like you. You're afraid that, you know, you're not going to be, whatever reason. Okay, what's another fear that you've experienced?
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure. So I'd like to talk about that one a little bit. Fear of failure is a big one. What happens if I don't succeed? And if we have this fear of failure, what can happen is we don't ever try. We never start. Or maybe we even plant the seeds of our own failure in our own mind so that we don't have to admit to the fact that we were a failure. And I've seen that happen, you know, where somebody says, well, I'll do it, but I won't really, you see them go at it, or maybe you've seen this in yourself. You don't really give it your best because you think you're going to fail. And then you can sort of console yourself with the fact, well, you know, I probably could have if I would have really. But we've got this fear of failure. And in Joshua chapter 8, you've got the story of Joshua and the children of Israel going back to Ai. And this is after they went up to Ai. They thought it wasn't going to be a big deal. They had just conquered Jericho, and everything was fantastic. And Joshua says, well, just go over ahead and send 3,000 men over there and take out that little village. Well, they experienced a defeat, and not just a little defeat either. A bunch of the men were killed, and it was a terrible, terrible thing for them. And they went back, and there was a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of soul-searching, a lot of trying to figure out what in the world went on. And then when they finally figured out, you know, well, we didn't even talk to God about this. And we didn't even get his blessing on it. We didn't even give it a whole lot of thought. And then Joshua goes to the Lord, and God gives him a plan, and he gives him some encouragement. And in verse 1 here, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And then you've got the story of how they set up an ambush and took the city of Ai very easily after God was with them. But we've got former failures saddle us with this monkey on our back where we're just, it's hard to go out again because, you know, we failed. And that just rides with us. And you see it happen when people live in fear of what they have experienced and live in fear of former failures. Or they're just afraid that what would happen if I really did give it my best. They never truly learn to overcome. They never become victors because they've got this fear of failure. And it's a real fear and probably one of the ones that affects us most. At least it has affected me and still a fear of mine. Okay, what's another one? How many of you are afraid of the future? Don't have to raise your hand, sorry. So how many of us are afraid of the future? What is coming at me? And we don't know, right? One of the things about living in fear is it's often a fear of outcome. And people who live in fear want to control the outcome of their actions, of other people's lives, of their own lives. They need to control what's coming at them because they've got this sense, and I don't know what's coming at me, and I'm scared. What could happen? And there's all, you know what? It's true. What could happen? The other day in California, a man was sleeping in bed, and a meteorite fell out of the sky and burned his house down. Nobody was killed. But, you know, you can be afraid. There's lots of things out there to be afraid of. Statistically, probably not going to happen to us, but, you know, there it is. It could. And if you start down a certain path of thinking, you can start thinking that way. Well, what would happen? What happens if I go outside? What happens if I go to town? What happens if my children? What happens if my children are outside of my sight or out of my control? What's going to happen to them after I'm gone? And it just, this fear of the future can build, and it becomes a tightness in your chest, and you can't sleep at night, and it's going to devour you. Fear of the future is a big one. What about fear of image? We talked about that a little bit. Fear of people is another one. Both what they might say about me, or maybe we're actually afraid of people. Maybe it's hard for you to just open yourself up to people because, you know, people hurt us. People disappoint us. People represent a lot of uncertainty. What about the fear of rejection? How many of us experience that fear? What about insecurity? And we talk about control of or control of outcome, when we want to control our outcomes and we want to know what's going to happen. We really want to be able to do A, B, and C so that D is the product of that. And, you know, when it gets really complicated, we try to string together A, B, C, D, E, F so that we get G, and it just doesn't work. And so many times security and control is simply an illusion. Because we live in the state of humanity is such that we simply cannot control everything. Now, we can control certain things, but we cannot control outcomes in ways that we maybe would like. Another thing is fear of hard things. How many of us are afraid to simply face hard things? Nobody wants to just go out and fight battles. Most of us are not just prone to leap into combat when there's hard things. Or, you've got a hard task in front of you. Yesterday, we raked leaves, the boys and I, for several hours. I can't say I just leaped out of bed with a glad hurrah to go, spend hours and hours raking leaves. And there's lots of things that are facing you, and you know they're there, and you know you should face them, and they're coming at you, you can't avoid them, but we're just sort of afraid of those things, and we don't really want to face them. So several principles on fear. What fear does for us fear itself is not a bad thing if it's kept where it belongs. So fear is actually what drives us to escape a dangerous situation. So if you are driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of you, fear will initiate instantaneously. You slam on the brakes and you get stopped as fast as you can. That was a fear response. Fear is a short-term strategy, and that's fine. There are things that we should be afraid of. Fear is a terrible long-term strategy, a terrible long-term solution. Fear puts us in flight or fight mode, where you either want to run or you want to fight. And when we give in to our fears, and we begin to live in fear, and we retract, we pull back from the things that scare us, what happens in our own heart or in our own mind is that that thing is then reinforced. It must have been scary because I hid from it, and therefore it is scary. So it becomes scarier to us. And also, I think we should remember this when we're trying to help other people around us, maybe our children, is that when you say, oh yeah, that is scary, you probably shouldn't go there. What you actually have done is you've reinforced that fear in their mind. They won't be stronger because of that. They'll be more scared. It's also true that you cannot help someone else conquer their fears by browbeating or forcing them into that posture. You have to face your own fears. And if you've got somebody who's living in fear near you and you want to help them, you have to remember that the path forward is to draw them, not to push them. You'll simply traumatize people if you just shove them into what they are afraid. They have to be able to face that, somewhat at least on their own steam. They have to be willing partners in what's happening. And then finally, the answer for fear, the solution to fear, living in fear, is to fear God and to love Him. I'd like to explore just briefly why that is. So Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15 say this. This is Joshua talking to the children of Israel. And he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I think these two verses show both the solution, the problem and the solution to fear. And that is, the solution to fear is not to run away from it and to hide ourselves from those things that scare us. We've all seen, maybe we've experienced that state of being in which we were afraid and so we put up a wall. We protected ourselves. So flight or fight. Remember, we either fight it off, or so many of us put up a wall. You don't come any closer. I'm afraid of what might happen. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of what I experienced in the past. And so we begin to define our lives by those things, and you put up a wall to protect yourself from those. And what happens is we become actually controlled by those things when that happens. And what Joshua said is, fear the Lord and serve Him. What God gives us when we fear Him, or when we have respect to the things that are important to God, when we pursue him for who he is, when we understand a little bit about who he is, and we understand his love for us, and we pursue what he has for us, that he gives us a vision. And he gives us somewhere to go. Who would you like to be lost in the wilderness with? Would you like to be lost with somebody who is simply afraid of everything that could happen? Or would you like to be lost with somebody who knows where he's going? Well, I say, how can you be lost and know where you're going? But have a strategy and have a plan. To where we're going somewhere, we're doing something. We're not just huddled in fear. Fear immobilizes. And when we have a fear of the Lord, and when he implants what is important to him in our hearts, then what happens is that he gives us forward momentum. How many of you have seen somebody who had a bad growing up experience, maybe grew up in a troubled home, and who declared in their heart, I will never be like my father or like my mother, and then proceeded to live in such a way as to give that exact same thing to their children? Or maybe they experienced something negative, either in church or in school or in whatever context they had, and they said, you know what, I experienced something really bad. I will never, ever, ever do that. And so then they proceed to live their life based on that fear and to make decisions based on that fear. And that's never going to happen with me. And instead of ending up somewhere good, they simply run from something bad to something else bad. Because when our lives are driven by fear, simply because we're running from one bad thing doesn't mean that there's not something else bad in front of us. There's not just wolves to be afraid of. There's lions and jaguars and hyenas out there too. And you know, if all we are is focused on one bad thing back there, we're not going to end up in a good place. Fear gives us suspicion and control and desire for protection. But what God gives us, what does he say? He said he wants us as a church to be what? Going forth conquering and to conquer. It's not enough just to not be afraid, but he gives us somewhere to go and something to do and a vision to perform. So in the interest of keeping this brief, as I said, let's look at 1 John 4. And I think this is a beautiful address that John gives us on fear and its counterpart. So 1 John 4, verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and some of us can testify to that. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Why is love the opposite of fear? I think it comes back to this thing of what God wants to do in us. What does he want for you? Let me ask you this. Is it safe to serve God? Does he give us a safe experience? I think too many of us answer yes. That's what we want from God. We want safety from God. If I serve him, if I give myself to Jesus, I will have a safe life. Why don't you ask Paul that question? Why don't you ask Peter that question? Why don't you ask Jesus himself that question? He doesn't give us safety. He gives us victory. He doesn't give you protection necessarily from hard things, but he gives you the ability to overcome them. He doesn't remove all things that go bump in the night. But he takes the fear out of your heart for those things. And there's real things to be afraid of. That's true. And, you know, as we go through life, it's okay to experience those moments where we say, I don't want to go there. I'm afraid that might happen. That's okay. But remember, let's not let our lives be formed and built around the fears that we have, but let our lives be formed and shaped around the love of God in us. The love of God that speaks to us, that says, don't be afraid. I've got to work for you. There's a battle in front of you. There's an Ai to conquer and a Canaan after that. What are some tools against fear? Gratefulness, I think, is a huge one. It's hard to be afraid and grateful at the same time. You know, if you're tempted with fear, look around. Ask yourself, what are the things that God has given me? And you might be astonished at the list. Gratefulness gives you a place to stand. It gives you a sense of your history with God, what he has done and what he will do, and gives you confidence to take that step forward. Another tool against fear is to live sacrificially, as Jesus called us to live and as he exemplified himself. It takes the focus off of ourselves and puts it on the vision of what God wants for his people. Another tool against fear is ask God to give you a vision for what he wants to do in you and through you. Look to God for a target to aim at, and he'll take those fears away from you. And it's amazing how they diminish as we have, as God gives us a vision for what he wants us to work on. Humility is another huge one, a tool against fear. Especially if we have fear of people and our self-image or those kinds of things. Be willing to be changed and accept the fact that the person I am right now needs to be changed. I need to change in real ways. Maybe I don't even know those ways yet. But if I'm not afraid of the future, if I'm not afraid of you, I will be on the lookout for ways in which God wants to change me. And I'm going to be willing to do that if I have humility. And then finally, to reinforce, the biggest tool against fear is to ask God to show you himself. When that happens, as Christians, I think we will both experience the fear of God and the love of God, which will make all other things pale by comparison as we stand there and with eternal perspective, with an eternal standard, looking at what God wants us to do and the way he wants us to walk, and how our lives should be shaped for the things that we face, maybe some of them terrifying, maybe some of them that melt away a bit when we stand with God and God stands with us. There's a poem that I've carried for years in my Bible, and I'd like to read it here in closing. It's the author is Maltby Davenport Babcock. Be strong. We're not here to play, to dream, to drift. We have hard work to do and loads to lift. Shun not the struggle. Face it. 'Tis God's gift. Be strong. Say not, the days are evil. Who's to blame? And fold the hands and acquiesce. Oh, shame. Stand up. Speak out. And bravely, in God's name. Be strong. Matters not how deep entrenched the wrong, how hard the battle goes, the day, how long. Faint not. Fight on. Tomorrow comes the song. Shall we kneel for prayer?